You are listening to The Naked Scientists, and onto the main thrust of the show this week now, we're looking at the future of travel.
Just when you thought your commute was getting boring, over the next 50 years, getting to work on time and heading out to the hinterlands for your family holiday will become much, much easier, and perhaps even pleasurable.
Surely not. We are journeying into the not-so-distant future, a place where cars will drive themselves, drones will deliver your pizza or even repair buildings for you. Planes are being redesigned to be better, faster, stronger, and maybe a more comfortable place. And we could even be heading to outer space for our vacations.
The next generation of transportation is very nearly here, and we're taking a magnifying glass to some of the most exciting developments in the field.
So first we're joined by Mirko Kovac. Now he and his team of scientists at Imperial College London have been designing a type of flying drone. These are bio-inspired by swiftlets, tiny birds that build nests using their own spit. He's very kindly joining us here and has brought some of these micro-aerial vehicles, as they're called, to show me what they're capable of. Hi Mirko, thanks for coming on.
Hi, my pleasure.
Let's have a look first at one of these things you brought. So what is a drone? What are these things and what do they do?
Now, drones are basically flying robots or flying unmanned aerial vehicles. And so what they can do is they can take pictures from above, from the sky, but they can also interact with the environment and create structures, repair structures, or take samples of the soil or of water.
And we mostly hear about drones in the context of military spying or, doing nasty things like dropping bombs and stuff like that. That's presumably not what you're about here.
Yeah, of course, there are a lot of ethical questions and discussions that happen around these areas. And what's different from these big military drones is that they are basically airplanes. But the small drones that we can buy for a few pounds is that it's fueled by electronics, consumer electronics and cell phone technology, basically. So they get really cheap now and they are widely available.
Now, I'm kind of a bit worried about the idea of lots of drones flying around that could take pictures. I mean, would they take pictures of me while I'm sunbathing in my bikini? I don't really want that. How do I know what's a good drone and what's a pervy drone?
Yes, I think we need to discuss this as a society of what is ethical use of drones. And for there are different questions that come to mind. One is on privacy, so not to film people when they don't want to be filmed. I think we need to protect that. But we also need to take care that drones don't do something that is potentially dangerous, that they're not in the hands of terrorists, for example, or that they're not carrying out tasks that are critical or dangerous, or life-death decisions. I think there are things that the human needs to be in the loop, and we need to create a framework, an ethical framework of what should be allowed and what not.
So we've got a couple sitting on the desk here. Now, talk to me about this one. This thing's about, I guess, the size of my hand. It's got four little helicopter blades sitting around something about the size of an egg, I guess.
So this I would call it a nano quadcopter. So it's very small and it can carry some sensors. Now, we use those in research to do swarm coordinated actions, and we can have thousands of them that will be deployed from a bigger airplane or for a mothership drone and then create and interact together to collaborate and do things.
Like a little flock of these tiny things going out there.
Exactly. So they could be a flock that then can build structures like termite wood in flocks or in swarms. Or they can also just sample the environment because we have many of them. And even if we lose part of them, even we lose 80%, let's say, they're very cheap. So we still get a lot of data back.
Okay, let's put this one to the test.
I can try.
Right, off we go. Oh, wow, yeah. Buzzing the microphone. That seems to be slightly hard to control. How are you and your team working on how to control these little drones?
Yeah, I'm not a very good pilot for these drones, so that's why we work on autonomous control, so they can control themselves based on onboard sensing and onboard intelligence. What we also work on is on the platform design, so create new drones that can do new things, such as repair of structures.
So how would that work? How could something that's a small little flying drone build a structure?
For that, we look at nature and we look at the animal kingdom and we look in particular at these birds that use their saliva to build nests. So these birds basically invented 3D printing many million years ago, and so we copied their principle of additive layer manufacturing to build up structures. Now we do this with expanding foam on the drone.
Not spit.
No.
Unlike the birds.
No. The drones use polyurethane foam or could use any kind of other chemicals. They can layer up and like this build up structures or repair structures.
So I can see that could be really useful for maybe very far away environments or possibly really dangerous environments. I guess we heard about the Fukushima nuclear reactors. You wouldn't want to send people there to repair it, would you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a very good application in our areas where people don't want to go. But also important is areas or situations where quick response is required, such as an oil spill or a leak in an oil pipeline. So there it's very important to very quickly react to this. And there a drone could go and seal this leak very quickly and effectively.
We've also heard recently in the news about the idea of delivering things with drones, you know, maybe your online shopping or something like that, perhaps even a pizza. I'm feeling quite peckish. Where are we with that?
I think we're pretty close to that. So we're not so far, but there are a lot of challenges on how to fly drones safely in cities, close to humans, how to avoid each other, how to have a regulatory framework that allows the regulation of the traffic, like air traffic control. But the technology is almost there for delivery.
And what could be some of the applications? I mean, for example, we're in the grip of the Ebola crisis at the moment, and one big problem is you can't get medications, you can't get tests through. Is this the kind of area where drones could really help?
I completely believe so. In fact, in areas where the infrastructure is not developed yet, such as developing countries, so instead of going into the building roads or building ground infrastructure, there is a big movement in creating aerial drone-based delivery systems, at a fraction of the cost. That would be much faster, more effective for medical deliveries, blood supplies, for example.
And obviously the need in some parts of the world is incredibly urgent for this, but how soon do you think we might start seeing little drone armies or drone swarms going out and doing these kind of things?
So I think the drone delivery is very close, so we need to create a legislation for that. And we need air traffic control, but we also need onboard sensors and ways how to avoid each other, how to avoid obstacles. And there again, I think we can learn a lot from nature that does it already very, very effectively.
Thank you very much. That's Imperial College's Mirko Kovac and his 3D printing and Swiftlet-inspired drones.